Are we ready to rock and roll?
Everything good?
Let's
everything
go.
All right. Let's go.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you are. Welcome to the Matt Kim Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Kim, joined by my co-host, Mr. Peter Saddington.
What's up, guys? Let's go.
I have been in Mexico, in Cancun, for the last 5 days. I feel like I'm really dark, by the way. Do I look darker?
You still look pretty Asian yellow.
This is, I hit peak darkness pretty quickly. And then that's kind of it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I turn into a Mexican.
Yeah, I don't get Mexicanized from going to Mexico. But we had an amazing time. I went with my wife and my daughter and my parents. Mm. And they had this genius idea. My parents and my wife did. They had this genius idea that we should go and take our 1.5-year-old daughter on a flight to Mexico. Because it will be a great experience for the entire family.
You couldn't have gone to just Hilton Head?
In retrospect, that would have been a fantastic idea. Because traveling with a young baby is not easy. Mm-mm. Going internationally and going through customs with a young baby where you have to wait in long lines is not easy. Mm-hmm. Trying to figure out how to feed a baby at a all-inclusive resort where the food is like really salty and sweet. Mm. It's not easy. Having your daughter sit out in the sun all day and trying to schedule around nap times is not easy. Trying to figure out, you know, watching her because pools and beaches aren't exactly baby friendly. Mm. So constantly like hawking around, making sure she's not going to fall in something or fall and hit her head.
You're really selling this get married and have kids narrative. You're selling it hard right now.
Well, what I noticed was all the families that were there, because there was a lot of families.
Yeah, yeah. It's Cancun.
They all had one kid.
Ooh, interesting.
Because once you have one and you do this experience one time, you're like, oh, I'm good. I'm not going to do it again.
That's why America is dying. And that's why we're importing all of these people to replace us, because people in America are no longer having kids.
But we had an amazing time. It was really fun. My daughter spent, I'm going to say, 3 hours a day taking water, playing with a bucket in the low part of the pool. So she would fill up the bucket with water and dump it out.
Those are the best.
And then fill it up with water again and dump it out. So my entire vacation was sitting there watching her dump water into a pool.
You did more than that. You also had some time to relax, right? Some time to relax.
There
you
was
also,
zero relaxation.
Right, well, you had no relaxation. You weren't working the whole time.
I wasn't working. I think there was four of us, four adults and one baby, and we are all just like done. It's just so much work.
So I have to ask you this question. What does a regular, if you can call this vacation to Cancun regular, but what would a regular vacation look like for you? Are you the type that actually works on vacations or are you the type that actually unplugs during vacations? I have a hard time unplugging during vacations. It's like really hard for me.
I like to spend majority of the daytime just kind of like laying around and doing nothing. Mm. So when we go on vacations, if we go to the Caribbean or something, we will just pick one resort that we like, pick our spot, pay the people however much to just reserve that spot for us for the entire time we're there, which they typically do if you go out of your way, right? And we'll just stay in that one spot the entire time. And maybe we'll do some jet skiing or something like this. But outside of that, we're not the excursion type. We like to just pick our spot and chill.
I'm surprised because so many Koreans, and you know this, so many Koreans go to these different places and they have those Korean tours. Mm. So have you ever done those?
No, I'm not the tour type.
You're not?
No, because
we love that shit, man. Whenever, like when we went to Costa Rica, we had 2 weeks of just Korean tours.
The going off the resort is an entire day fiasco.
Oh, absolutely.
You gotta leave and the bus comes at 10 a.m. So you gotta be ready by 10. Mm. And then,
or sometimes earlier.
And then you go maybe 30 minutes to an hour to where you need to go. And then you sit around, you wait till your excursion starts.
Right.
And then once the excursion of 1 hour is over, you gotta sit there for an hour, 2 hours, wait for your pictures.
Yep.
And then you got to wait for the bus to bring you back to the resort.
To go to lunch. No, you got to go to lunch.
Oh, you got to do lunch and you got to do this. And then by the time you get back to the resort, it's like dinner time.
Yep.
And your entire day was one excursion for 1 hour and a lot of waiting.
And you're exhausted.
We did that once or twice. And after that, we're like, dude, just chilling at the beach is like a better use of our time. So that's typically what we did. Now it's chasing baby around and watching her pour water with a bucket.
So you're truly saying that you had no respite. You had no rest during this vacation, is what you're saying?
My rest was she would go to sleep around 7:30. And we'd put her to bed, and then we'd sit on the balcony and sit at the balcony until we go to bed. So those 2 or 3 hours that we sit on the balcony at the resort is kind of our rest time.
So I'm not trying to interject here, but I would think with everything that has transpired over the last year and everything that certainly transpired in early 2024, that you would maybe have wanted to sit there and kind of marinate on everything that's going on and the big decisions, the big opportunities that are coming up that we can't talk about yet, you know, these types of things. I would think that you're kind of spend some time and space to say, you know what, how do I put this all together? But you didn't have that time.
It's funny how life works, where you just like, hey, I'm gonna think about it, and sometimes you have to think about things for an extended period of time and slowly kind of come to realizations, and sometimes you're like, hey, I'm gonna think about it, and just opportunity starts banging on your door. Fortunately for us in our journey over the last year, we're the type where we think about something and opportunity just comes busting in the door.
He's not wrong. Like the amount of times where Matt's come to Will and I and said, you know, I was thinking about this and then I got a call. It's just like, dude, it's uncanny. It's almost as if your brain and what you're thinking about is plugged into the ether of the divine matrix, and whatever you're thinking about gets shot out of your brain to these people and they immediately hit you up.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's uncanny in a lot of ways.
Because I was sitting there in the afternoon, right when my daughter fell asleep for her nap. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, man, like we're having a hard time with YouTube. YouTube is giving us a hard time and it's just not growing the way that we had hoped for. And I'm thinking about kind of YouTube and deplatforming, and you can see it. And I've been thinking about this Discord ban that's potentially coming our way. As of April 15th, they've changed the terms and conditions for Discord.
Yep.
So if anyone signs a Discord, you have to sign the new terms and conditions to access Discord. And basically what it says is that you can get your server deleted at any given time for misinformation. And who decides misinformation? God knows.
The blue-haired sheepdogs.
So our Discord is definitely at risk, and it could get deleted at any given day.
I don't want to add any anxiety, but I'm telling you, I'm already hearing reports from some Discords that are, yep.
Yeah, and the stuff that gets discussed in a Discord would be considered misinformation according to their guideline.
100%.
So it's something I was thinking about. And literally while I'm thinking about it, I look at my phone and Chris, CEO of Rumble, messages me. He's like, hey, maybe we should do a podcast together. I was like, huh. Look, how that works.
maybe the solution just emerges whenever you think about it.
And we've been trying to make a concerted effort to spend more time on Rumble because for us, at least, with the idea that we need a video platform where we can speak freely, they're the ones that exist right now in the ether. And for Chris to reach out at that exact moment, I'm thinking about this, is you can't make this stuff up.
Matt, you're very much like a lightning rod for a lot of opportunities that are coming up. And again, we can't speak about a lot of them, but I'm excited in my bones for where you're going to be headed in the next couple months.
So look forward to a Chris Pavlovsky podcast interview / conversation coming soon. We haven't firmed up any dates yet, but the conversation has started. So very interesting. And what other platform does the CEO of a platform be like, hey, maybe we should talk? Like, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
It doesn't happen anywhere. I can't imagine Susan from YouTube, although she's not CEO of YouTube anymore.
Yeah. She's the marketing CMO, I think, or something like that.
No, Susan was the...
She was the CEO.
And she left.
I thought she was I don't know.
Anyway, there's a new CEO. I don't know. It's probably some Indian Jewish guy. And...
Indian Jewish guy. How does that happen, bro?
It's one.
He's just projecting his own insecurities about the overlords that are ruining his life, also known as Indians.
And I don't know what that means. But I don't even know where we're going. Anyway, they're never going to contact me. But for Chris to contact me directly was wild. So I think that's really cool. And he's been in our live stream chats before, hanging out. So huge fan of Chris. So Chris, if you ever watch this, I appreciate you.
So I've watched a couple interviews with him in the past. They were mostly just clips of interviews, if I'm fair. I'm curious as to, and these are two questions I would ask, is why did he feel that he needed to be the guy that created this alternative to YouTube? And number two, I would ask, what does he feel he needs to grow? So I would be curious about those two questions. So I'll posit them to you so that you can ask those questions to him. Because I'd be curious, because he might have some real strategic and tactical considerations about how he wants to grow, and it would be great to know that.
And I'd be curious to know intent.
Yeah.
Did he intend to become this guy that everyone's kind of relying on now for free speech and free speech video platform? I don't think that this was originally his plan. I didn't think he'd have to have this burden to bear.
This is a tough burden to bear. It's not like people wake up in the morning and say, let me see how I can fight against the man today. Like, nobody does that.
Yeah, it just woke up one day, like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
I'm in the conversation.
Easy battle, hard battle. Let me choose that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me pick the hardest battle and go up against Google.
Absolutely.
I don't think that was his goal. I think it just kind of happened. And now he's sprung into this position where he's kind of stuck fighting for it.
So are you going to do that interview this weekend or this week?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Conversation just started.
So I have a question that was posited from my wife when we heard that she heard that you were going on vacation. She's like, Matt's going with his parents. Is that a Korean thing?
I think it's, you have one kid and you're like, this is going to be very difficult to do on our own. So we should take grandma and grandpa. And it was actually grandma and grandpa's idea. My father actually kind of wanted to do this. Do you remember when the earthquake happened in Turkey, Istanbul?
Vaguely, yeah.
I think it was like 6 months ago.
Oof, yeah.
There was a big earthquake in Istanbul. In Turkey. There was a big earthquake in Turkey 6 months ago. And they were supposed to go to Turkey.
Oh.
The day before that, the big earthquake happened on Saturday night. They were supposed to go to Turkey on Sunday. So their entire trip got canceled because of the earthquake.
Right.
And then they had, you know, they refund all your money and credits. So they had all this credit money left over. And they were like, hey, we have all this, you know, like Delta money and et cetera. Why don't we just go on vacation? Because my dad likes to leave town in Georgia during the pollen season.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We should go somewhere together. And my mom, my dad, and my wife were like, this is a great idea. We should do a family vacation. Let's go to the beach. And they're like, this is not as what we thought it would be. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of what I told you. It's not easy traveling with a baby.
So they're going to go to a vacation next time without you is the answer.
I don't know. It's one of those where you do it once and now you're stuck being a babysitter. See,
if I can just say one thing, family vacations, in my estimation, are one of the crucibles that I think are required to actually prove that you enjoy and like the person you're with. I mean, how many times, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been on family vacations with other families, and sometimes you get to see the real about those families, because for the first time in a long time, those families actually have to be together in a hotel, at events, going to things. And so much of work and life today is the man is outside the house. And in a lot of ways, if you do that over many, many years, then you, I wouldn't say fracture your relationship with your spouse or your wife or your kids, but I've seen awkward situations, Matt, where I've seen families and it's like, y'all don't even like each other. like I'm on vacation with you and it's clear y'all don't even know how to live together. And so here's my question. Spending time with your parents, your wife, your daughter, and all of that jumbled together, do you still like your parents?
It's a little bit of suffering.
Seriously, though. I mean, I sometimes look at these other couples. I'm like, damn, like vacations are the precipice of divorce. Because like you guys actually have to like, that's like COVID. You remember COVID smashed people together and like, holy shit, I got to live with you for like in the same house for 6 months straight because I'm landlocked. And that's where we had all these divorces and all that stuff. Because people didn't actually like their spouses and partners when they're locked together with them.
I mean, I'm looking around at the resort and see all these young families, and I'm going to say 20% of the time they're smiling And the other 80% of the time, they all have the same look. Yeah, we shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, seriously. I tell you, man, you wanna test your 10-year, 15-year, 20-year marriage, go to a long vacation with your family. Then you'll realize, damn, man, maybe I don't actually like these people.
So coming back, we got stuck in the immigration line for maybe an hour and a half.
That's actually not too bad.
Well,
if you think about it.
So I'm sitting there in line for an hour and a half, and it's not an easy line because my daughter is getting really frustrated because we just got off a flight and now we're there. And the line's like one of these snake lines that loops around.
You're a piece of cattle, man.
Hate it. And I'm sitting there in line, and over half of the CBP gate agents are like empty, right? It's like a third of the people that work there, and the other ones are empty, and there's a huge line. And immediately I thought, why do we have so much money to spend to war? This money to spend $100 billion to Ukraine just comes out of nowhere, out of the sky.
Poof. They just print it,
And they're talking about all this money that they want to spend to close the border and help the situation at the border. And they're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. Where does this money come from? And they can just manufacture this money to solve all these problems that they create. But they can't solve problems that affect our daily life on a regular basis. There are people standing in line, American citizens trying to come back into the United States, and we're forced to stand in line for an hour and a half, and over 2/3 of the gates are empty. Why can't we take the money and just hire more people to do the job so that we can come into the country faster?
Because that doesn't make our politicians money, Matt. The only reason you go into politics is so that you can rub shoulders with people who can give you money under the table to do other things. And those things, the best way to make money in politics is war.
Can a politician not create a CBP staffing agency?
No, because it's they're not incentivized. Improving the postal service, improving governmental agencies like your immigration does not make them money. What makes them money is bombing other people in other countries, bro. You know this.
Where does all this money come from?
Well, the sad fact of the matter is our taxes don't actually go to any of this stuff.
So I was looking into the Easy Pass in New York.
Yeah.
And the Easy Pass system for the bridges and tunnels, which is like $20 across or $15 across these days.
Highway robbery.
They generate like $10 billion.
Oh, yeah.
New York has spent like $10 billion giving away and handling the illegal migrant crisis.
Yeah, but they're all hanging out in Central Park right now.
So they have $10 billion to spend on fixing the illegal migrant crisis, which they're not fixing, but at least alleviate the problem. But they don't have $10 billion to manage the bridges and tunnels.
No, not at all.
So you have to pay every time you go into the city to pay for the maintenance of the bridges. But if there's an illegal migrant crisis in New York City, then they can just all of a sudden come up with money and be like, oh, we'll just give away free money.
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't they use that pre-allocated money that they're giving to illegal migrants, and why can't they use it to maintain the bridges?
Because no politician in the history of ever has won a re-election or an election with strategic and tactical initiatives saying that they're going to fix the roads and fix the bridges. That's not going to get them elected.
Where does all this money come from? Because every time we watch any congressional bill, they talk in the billions of dollars. And these billions of dollars that they allocate to these random programs, why can't they use them to fix things like, hey, Americans are coming back into the country. Let's not make them wait an hour and a half. Americans are trying to cross a bridge. Why don't we just let them cross the bridge for free?
Matt, you're missing the opportunity. The opportunity.
So frustrating.
No, you're missing the opportunity. You're whining about how there's a obvious misallocation of funds and taxpayer money all the time. Peace. That's table stakes. You're missing the opportunity. The opportunity is you need to go into politics so that you can start sloshing around the money and do whatever you want. That's what you need to do. Stop complaining and become part of the problem too so you can get rich.
I am just so frustrated with politics these days.
Well, isn't this kind of what we're trying to fight against, though?
Some days it's like, it is what it is. And other days I'm like, It's just like so bad.
So let's talk about this at the meta level. How do you, Matt, deal with the disappointment of the world and society and politics that you're a part of, and you're as a social commentator and a political commentator and a reporter,
journalism, whatever that means.
I mean, how do you balance the negativity and the frustration with actual like positivity and value add that we're trying to create here with the free thinker movement? How do you balance that? Because we've seen, and you've seen so many times, probably too many times to count, YouTubers, podcasters, influencers, content creators, all getting burned out.
True.
Right. So do you have any tips for our audience? Do you have any ideas around how to not get burned out, how to keep balance? Because let's be honest, you're running fucking fast. Like Matt Kim podcast, you're running like 9,000 miles per hour here.
I think the trick to not getting burned out is continue to just do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I think it's people who get stuck in a very specific niche and they also, because they take the money from the propagandists, so they have to say certain things and now it becomes a job and it's not something you want to do or something that you're passionate about, but something you do because you have to do. And everyone gets burned out from a job, you know?
So your solution then, if I were to recontextualize what you just said, would be make sure that you're not ever doing a job.
Yes.
So the Matt Kim podcast is not a job.
No, we do it because we like to do it. We enjoy to do it because we feel passionate about it. And we feel like we're making a difference. We do it because we want to do it.
But at the same time, the world around us is very frustrating.
It is extremely frustrating, you know?
I wish we had solutions for it.
I wish we had a good idea today. I feel like I have one right now.
I had a great idea. I think we should support Matt getting into politics so he can slosh the money around and he can give some back to the little fish.
Make it rain,
Matt. Come on. We need to depend on you, Matt. You need to be our baby mama. You need to be our baby mama.
Yeah. It's frustrating. Although, interesting thing happened the other day. So I'm at breakfast with my parents. My parents come running in. And they're
this
like...
This was in Cancun?
In Cancun.
Okay.
And they're like, did you see the interview with Tucker and Pastor Doug Wilson?
Oh, yes.
And I hadn't watched it yet, but it did show up in my feed. And for anyone that hasn't watched it, definitely worth checking out, I believe. It's on, I believe there's clips of it on his X, and you can find the full thing, I think only on his Tucker Carlson Network. Worth watching. They're like, hey, did you watch this thing with Pastor Doug Wilson? And I was like, no, I haven't seen it yet. Pastor Doug Wilson was my neighbor when I was born.
What?
And I'm like, that's so crazy.
Wait. When you were born, where were you born?
In Moscow, Idaho.
He's a Russian disinformation agent. Guys. Those sheep's wool have been pulled over your eyes. He was born in Moscow.
I was born in Moscow.
Somebody clip this. Make sure it goes viral. We have a Russian agent. Misinformation. He's actually against Trump, clearly.
Dude, when I was in college, and we used to go to Canada, because in Canada, you could gamble and drink at 19.
Yep, you got it. Exactly.
And living in Ohio, we used to go to Canada to like party. One day we went to Canada and I didn't bring a passport with me. So I'm trying to come back into the country and the border agent's like, hey, like, where's your passport? I'm like, sorry, I forgot it. Number one, I can't believe they let me into the country without it.
It's Canada.
Okay. But I'm trying to come back in the United States. So I'm on the bridge between Canada and the United States in no man's land. And like, well, we can't let you in. I'm like, well, Canada's not going to let me back in. I don't have a passport. You know, like, where do I go? Like, do I just live on this bridge forever?
It's time to do a ditty. It's time to bust
that,
a ditty.
Take that, So the guy's like, okay, let's get your information. What's your full name and where are you born? I'm like, well, my name's Matthew Kim and I was born in Moscow, Idaho. And the guy looks at me sideways like, really?
He's like, I don't believe you, sir. I don't believe you.
And after I said it out loud, I was like, damn, they're going to pull me over. They're going to make me go into this back office and like answer more questions for sure.
They're totally going to bend you
This random Asian guy shows up at the border and says, I'm from Idaho.
Yep.
They're going to like, no. And that's exactly what happened. We had to go to the back and I had to answer all the forms and fill out whatever it is. And it took me like 2 hours to get back in the country. Eventually.
But was mission accomplished? Did you get the poon in Canada?
Windsor is a cool place.
We'll just leave it at that. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
But yeah, so I was born in Moscow, Idaho. And my neighbor, when I was born, was Pastor Doug Wilson.
A fucking redneck, bro.
Yeah.
Moscow, yeah. Idaho, guys. Like, where the fuck is that?
It is where University of Idaho is. Most recently famous for the random stabbing that happened at the university campus, which I thought was crazy because I had never heard of Moscow, Idaho in the news before until that date. But yeah, he was our neighbor. And Doug Wilson is the reason that my father is a Christian.
Wow.
So he used to run a Bible study, and he invited my dad to his Bible study, and that's where my dad first learned about God. And that is the reason why I was raised Christian, probably the reason why we stayed in this country versus going back to Korea after he graduated. And probably everything that's happened from that moment started with my father and Doug Wilson having conversation.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
So just to back up for a little bit, not everyone's watched the Tucker Carlson and Doug Wilson interview. So tell us quickly, who is Doug Wilson and what was his message on Tucker Carlson's interview?
So basically his message was the country was founded on Christian beliefs, that we as a society now are letting the left rule our country with all these rules and laws. The analogy he gave was, if you look at the Ten Commandments, you can fit it on a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the Old Testament, you can fill it with one book on a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your local state and ask for the state tax and legal code. It's an entire shelf of laws.
Mm-hmm.
They're controlling your life. They're trying to tell you how to live. And they are, the left and the people in charge don't believe in God.
Mm.
They want to be God.
Mm.
And we need to go back to a society that believes in God and has less rules and let society decide how to rule themselves. Mm-hmm. This is kind of his premise and what he believes, and something that I agree with fully.
And if I may, there's a huge moniker. There's a huge naming convention that is why he had this conversation with Tucker. It's Christian nationalism, which is, for all of you guys out there, you guys know that whenever we hear Christian nationalism, these words put together, it is often in a derogatory context. It is a racial issue. It is a fire starter issue. It is, according to Biden, Christian nationalists are the number one enemy of the state, right?
And they call Pastor Doug Wilson a racist and a white supremacist. Mm. But yet, here I am, literally existing in this space because he went to his neighbor, who was this random Korean guy who barely didn't speak much English, and said, hey, so you should come to Bible study.
So for me, sitting where I am, for everybody out there, this is almost a full circle thing. This is like the full circle. So if I can contextualize, Matt Kim was born in Moscow, Russia. he was born in Moscow, Russia, and he was born, and his neighbor was a Christian radicalized nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everyone's clipping this. So Matt Kim was born in Moscow, Russia, born next to the famous Christian nationalist. And this Christian nationalist proselytized and evangelized to your father. And that is how your father became a Christian. And that's how you became a Christian. This guy, Doug Wilson, ended up being on Tucker Carlson's show. You interviewed Tucker Carlson and your besties and best friends with Tucker Carlson. So this is like a full circle, guys. This was planned in the womb. By the great Lord of hosts, he said, Matt Kim's going to be born in Moscow as a Russian disinformation agent, and he's going to be born next to a Christian radicalized nationalist.
So to
totally cancelable. You were cancelable on day one. That's what it is.
I was born canceled.
You were born canceled. Guys, this man, Matt Kim, is living his passion. What he doesn't realize, he's actually living his divine purpose from day fucking one.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Day fucking one,
like, how small is the world? That's even possible.
So I'm telling you.
Do a full close on the loop. I've reached out to them. I'm going to get Pastor Wilson's information.
Oh,
and I'm going to go to Moscow, Idaho to interview him in the place where I was born.
That's
how amazing would that be?
What a great story. It is a full circle. I can't wait for that interview. I'd love to see what questions you have for him, because not only was he a humble guy, but there are two salient points that I think are really important that he brought up that I think were a really big part of the foundation of his argument around why Christian nationalism is a good thing. Number one, you brought it up earlier, but I think it's important to call out that the liberal left's model is they don't believe in God. So what is above government is God. Since they don't believe in God, government is their God. Mm. And so that's an important point to make, because the mental models of the liberals and the left is because they don't believe in God, they have to replace God with the state. And that's number one. Number two, they see laws as the exacting of the will of the state. And I love the way that Doug said this. He said this. He said, all laws are morals that are pushed onto you.
Yes.
Now, if you think about it that way, it's like, whoa, wow, we have a lot of morals that turn into laws that aren't Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe those laws are taking us away from what Doug Wilson would say would be the theme of the Christian nation that was born. So we're moving away from the original intent of what America was supposed to be. I think those points were just so rock solid that it helped form and help you understand the rest of his argumentation, the rest of the conversation. It's really good.
Definitely not the biggest name that Tucker has interviewed.
He's intelligent,
but
succinct.
Definitely worth the listen.
Yeah.
He puts his ideas in a very simple way where people can understand and go, huh, makes a lot of sense. I really liked it, and highly recommend.
I have to ask you, because after I watched his interview, I came away with it saying, I'm kind of a Christian nationalist. So let me ask you, are you a Christian nationalist?
I guess so. I just learned the term, trying to figure it out.
Let's define it. What did Doug say Christian nationalism actually is?
What did he say it was?
Well, he says that America was built on Christian values, and that our nation and our nation's safety, our nation's focus, our nation's growth should all be focused on internals, right? It should be focused on America, America first, which I don't think should be a, let's just say, fire starter statement. For me to say America first in the legacy media is absolutely outlandish. Now, why do you think that is? Why would it be that if you were to come out and let's say on X and you were to post America first, you would get flamed?
Mm.
Why is that such a divisive term these days? Why is it that we cannot be America first anymore? Why is that?
I don't know. Will, can you look up Pastor Doug Wilson, Tucker Carlson, see if there's any news? I just want to see if the news commented on him. And see if they've called him anything. I'm curious. I'm just curious to see what happens.
He in the interview, he already said that he's been called racist, all this, you know, radicalized, all this stuff. But he makes a solid case. And again, for everyone out there, smash the like button, join the Matt Kim podcast, join the Discord, the Telegram, do all that stuff, retweet it, repost it, do all that. But definitely listen to Doug Wilson. I think he was so good at defining terms and making it relatively clear that if you're a Christian and you believe America is an amazing place to live and you want America to continue to be an amazing place to live, you could be considered a Christian nationalist. Oh, no.
MSN says, America needs Jesus. Tucker Carlson sits down with the Christian nationalist they warned you about.
Hmm.
Oh. So wait. That's odd. So America needs Jesus, but we need to warn everybody about Christian nationalism.
No, and America needs Jesus was in quotes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Doug said, yeah, America does need Jesus is what they're saying. And they're saying, clearly, if someone says America needs Jesus, that is the enemy that we're going
to. I need to go talk to this guy. I feel like I have to. I'm supposed to. It's supposed to happen.
Say less.
Right?
Say less.
It's supposed to happen.
It's supposed to happen. Absolutely.
Things don't line up like this without the logical conclusion being, I'm supposed to go home to where I was born and meet the guy that was my neighbor and find out what it is, because his ideas align really close with ours.
Yeah.
In this most odd way. Never knew he existed. But as soon as he popped up, my parents were like, he was our neighbor.
So when you say I need to go home, my brain immediately flashed to like this really fun, like digital short, you know, where you have like a D-Rock that follows you from Atlanta, flying over back to Moscow, Russia. And you know, it's, you know, it's B-roll. It's the cameraman looking at you and you're like, oh, it's good to be back in my hometown. And you tell some stories about it. And then you meet this guy. We should make a digital short of your trip back to the homeland.
I left Idaho before I was 100 days old.
So you're basically just a potato.
Yeah. I have no memory of Idaho and I've never been back since.
Really? Never? Yeah. Never?
No.
So this will really be a homecoming.
Yeah. I've never been back. I mean, what reason is there to go to Idaho? Although I think it was a month ago, I met a random person from maybe 10 miles from where I was born. And he was like, oh, you're from Idaho? And we ended up talking like the whole night because it's hard to meet people from Idaho.
Well, yeah.
It's not like a hugely populous place.
And if you're from Idaho, guess the only thing you're going to talk about? Idaho potatoes.
Yeah.
Guys, that's it.
I love potatoes. My dad loves potatoes. it's one of those things that we just always eat potatoes. And maybe that's why.
Hey, you know? potatoes are the lifeblood of good living.
So definitely wait for the episode that will eventually come, hopefully soon, from Moscow, Idaho. And if you're from Moscow, Idaho, or you're in Idaho, definitely come and say hello.
Yeah, hit us up. Cool. We'll let you know in Discord. We'll let you know in Telegram what Matt Kim's doing. Obviously, he's a famous guy. He needs security. So in Idaho, there's a lot of crazy people. So
are there?
I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
I don't know anything about Idaho.
Really?
I mean, do you?
Other than potatoes.
Yeah. My knowledge of Idaho is like almost nothing.
Isn't Idaho supposed to be like, was that Oregon? I think it was like either Oregon wanted to join Washington or Idaho or something like that, didn't they? They're split with the vote and they're just like, fuck yeah, Oregon.
Eastern Oregon
wanted to leave.
Yeah, wanted to leave, yeah.
Join
yeah.
with Idaho.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So Idaho could.
Idaho's really conservative.
Bigger, yeah.
I believe that Doug Wilson wanted to make Moscow, Idaho the first Christian city in America.
How do you go about making it or substantiating that a city already in existence is now a Christian city? How does that happen?
I don't know. This is just something I kind of heard, and I'm curious to know what that even means and what that looks like.
Sounds like something that CNN could run with, saying this guy's going to go crazy trying to take over this city.
And yeah, but CNN is not really overly excited about talking about a small city in Idaho.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's kind of one of those that kind of flies under the radar.
Oh, man. So now I have to bring up Tupac.
Oh. Okay, are we going to Tupac already?
Bruh.
Man, I have a concession to make, my friends. I have an admission to make.
Can we get some sad music for this? Because Peter was really upset about this morning.
I was so upset, guys. And I know I'm taking Matt Kim time, but guys, I need sympathy. I need empathy. I need your love. I need your support in this tough and trial of a time. This trying time in my life. 2 days ago, my friends, because of all the Diddy, take that. Because of all the Diddy stuff that's coming out, all of the unreleased footage of all of these rappers and entertainers and musicians and artists are coming out into the fold in public view. And I came across 2 days ago a treasure trove, Matt.
Mm.
A treasure trove of Tupac, videos of Tupac when he was 16, 17, 18, and 19, hanging out with producers, interviewers, you know, men of industry, women of industry. And man,
this may be the longest preamble ever.
I need to add weight to this, guys. My soul was crushed.
Can we do one more sad boy?
You see, back in middle school and high school, so I was born in the early 80s, right? I lived through the 80s and the 90s. I grew up on Biggie and Eazy-E and Tupac and, you know, Spice One and Cypress Hill and all of these gangster rappers. My favorite, though, was Tupac. And I found out through this treasure trove of videos that Tupac is gay as fuck. I'm so sad, guys. I'm so sad. Emotional damage, my friends. Some of you out there are just the same age as Matt and I and even Will. You were raised on Tushnak. You were raised on Biggie Smalls. You were raised on Cypress Hill. You were raised on all these guys. You thought they were hardcore. You thought they were gangsters for life, rough riders, but really they were just roughing it in the butt.
They're rough riders.
They were roughing it in the butt, guys. I was so distraught 2 days ago, my friends. So I didn't know if you know this, but now you know. Tupac was gay AF.
Yep.
Why?
I thought everyone knew this.
You didn't. You knew this?
Yes.
You didn't know this?
For sure.
No, you didn't. How did you know Tushnak was gay?
I when I was younger.
I don't care that he's gay. It's just like he was such a...
Oh, no, you do care he's gay. When I was younger,
I was deceived.
Tupac's poetry book.
Tupac's poetry book?
There's a Tupac poetry
that
book.
That is gay AF.
Yeah. And anyone who writes a poetry book is pretty. So, if you're like, hey, I have an idea. I'm going to write a poetry book.
It's kind of like Ashley Biden writing her poetry in her book.
So, yeah. I thought everyone knew that pretty much all the rappers are.
I just, all I have going through my mind are these lyrics.
If you're a grown-ass man and you're putting on costumes and you make your living by dancing for other people and you spend your entire day practicing choreography, there's like a 90% chance you're gay.
So are you saying Justin Timberlake is gay?
Yes. There's not a lot of like masculine men. They're like, hey, do you know what? I'd like to spend my entire day practicing dance in front of a mirror.
Oh, man. Now I'm thinking about Enrique Iglesias.
Seriously? Like, you gotta pick the obvious ones?
You know? Like, fuck. Ricky Martin.
Yeah,
like...
See, you're totally making my case, which is, it was obvious. Most performers are.
Let us know in the comments. Let us know in Discord if you were as shocked as I was 2 days ago. I literally went through this entire trough of disillusionment.
Peter, we all thought you were more awake than this. And the fact that this is shocking to you is a little bit disappointing.
It is. Like
for you.
I mean, I know that the reptiles exist, the reptilians exist. I know that we live on a flat earth. But man, Tupac.
Oh, you can't say that.
Tupac being gay.
You're not allowed to say that.
My life is ruined.
There are the two most polarizing things you can talk about on the internet these days.
What's that?
One is Palestine, Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is like wars.
Yes.
And the other one is you're not allowed to discuss flat earth. I don't know why. I think we've had this conversation before, but for some reason, if you discuss flat earth, people rage quit. We actually had someone
Do they rage quit?
Someone left our Discord recently because they got into a flat earth argument.
Really?
And he was like, this is bullshit. And he's just like, I'm out of here. He quit.
Oh my God. What a loser. Oh my gosh. What's it going to do? Having a flat earth is not going to change your life, my friends, even though it's true. But Tupac being gay? Tupac being... Oh, I just... He would... I can't believe it. There were so many moments of my high school and middle school years in which I was channeling the Tupac energy of masculinity. But in reality, I was just channeling homoerotica. All right, we're done with Tushnak. Guys, that was a shocking moment for me. I almost killed myself. It's okay.
Yeah, I think question is, was Biggie gay?
Oh man, you know, there are a couple lyrics that I can think about with Biggie, probably.
And the reality is, I'm an East Coast guy. I was always team Biggie anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we're East Coast. I grew up in Jersey.
That's true. That's true.
We were Biggie people.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, on the East Coast, West Coast rivalry, we were East Coast. You know, if anything, the furthest west I went was like Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Bone, oh!
Yeah, because they're from Ohio.
Do you think they're gay?
I don't know.
Come on, Bone Thugs? Come on, Bone Thugs?
Don't ruin it for me, but...
Come on, Skinny Bone?
I did go to high school with Silly Kid Bone? Cudi.
Did you?
Yeah.
More like Butt Thugs.
Yeah, I went to high school with Kid Cudi.
Well, he's gay.
Yeah.
Daggum, guys. Like, I just...
And Bone Thugs was from my... area of Ohio. So we used to see him out all the time.
Man. I'm just, it's, I feel like the gay mafia is far larger than I imagined.
Mm.
It's far more expansive than I imagined.
Well, there's a good and a bad.
What's the good?
They have really nice restaurants.
The gays?
Yeah.
Wait, what? I thought we were talking about rap.
Oh, okay.
What are you thinking about, bro? What gay restaurant have you been to recently?
No, like everywhere where the gays kind of take over, whatever side of town that is, it's like where all the nice restaurants are.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Our gay area is Little Five Points.
Okay, maybe not Atlanta.
I was about to say, Little Five Points.
But in Ohio and Columbus, short north, it's where all the nice restaurants are.
Well, I didn't know. In Atlanta, the gay scene in Atlanta is pretty decrepit.
You know, in New York, you have the Village, and that's where all the nice, awesome restaurants are. And they also have nice, cool shops. Mm-hmm. And it tends to be cleaner.
Fair enough. You know what I'm thinking about right now?
Biggie?
I'm thinking about Bill Maher.
Oh, Bill Maher.
Bill Maher. Because I was thinking about Ice Cube talking to Bill Maher about all the gay rappers.
Can you find the Bill Maher abortion clip?
Oh, is that yeah. That's too.
The clip I want to talk
about.
Yeah,
let's talk about that, dude. That was some... What?
Okay.
We can't play
so
it.
So Bill Maher, in a recent episode, he basically said, he was talking about abortion. He was talking about how there's always an argument about whether or not abortion is killing and murdering of babies. And essentially what he said was, I agree, abortion is murdering babies.
Mm.
But I'm okay with that because there are 8 billion people in the world anyways.
Mm.
He literally said, it's okay. What he said was, I believe abortion is murdering of babies, but I'm okay with the murdering of babies because there are a lot of people in the world. I've never heard someone say that out loud before.
Yeah, that's the silent part you don't say out loud.
Maybe some people think it. I've never heard someone say that out loud. When I saw that, I was shocked. I couldn't believe he said that out loud. And it was so nonchalant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like, yeah, of course. I was like, really? Of course?
Yeah, yeah. But you have to think. A lot of the people that think like Bill Maher, that are generally on the progressive and more liberal side, they also think that too.
A lot of the debate in abortion is whether or not abortion is a murdering of babies.
Yeah.
There is the pro-life side, which says, no, at conception, a baby, you have your, you know their genetics, you know their eye color, their hair color, you know a lot about them. It's life.
Yes.
I can understand that side.
Mm.
There's the other side, well, they're actually not born, they're still in the womb, it's just kind of cells, and therefore they're not babies. I don't agree, but I can understand that argument.
Mm. Oh, so let's define, if you're willing to, some of your audience might actually care. So what is your stance on abortion?
I have no idea when a baby is a baby.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
You're claiming ignorance.
I know that I don't feel right about it.
Mm.
I wish that there was a group or a science group or somebody that has more knowledge about this to make that decision and kind of guide us. Science itself is split on this. I don't know. What I do know is that when we had a miscarriage, when it was 3 weeks, 4 weeks into it, I felt like we lost the baby. Mm. I feel like we lost life.
Mm.
But that's how I felt. Maybe some people, they don't feel that.
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm.
What I do know is that both sides, people adamantly believe one or the other. It's a baby, it's not a baby. It's life, it's not life.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I can understand both arguments. For someone to say it's life, but I'm okay with killing the life. It's a really wild concept.
Well, I think he's actually speaking the larger meta truth of what he knows intrinsically everybody knows, which is you're killing somebody.
Mm.
So I think what he's, and I wasn't there, I did see the clip though. I think what he's doing is he's channeling the normalization of what his worldview is and the worldview that he shares with many hundreds of millions of people in America, which is we all agree it's killing someone. We usually don't say the silent part out loud. It's killing a baby. We all agree with that. And frankly, the silent part out loud that we shouldn't say, which is we don't care. And so you know, you've heard many times, and you've talked to Tucker, he's your bestie, and we all agree that this is a spiritual war that we live in. And so the way that I interpret what he said is that he revealed the spiritual war, which is, and you said this, I'm going to correct you a little bit because I disagree with you. You said that, you know, people are split on the science. Disagree. The science is clear. A baby is born, a baby is conceived like this. They go through multiple stages over three trimesters, 9 months. And the science is clear as to what a baby does when they grow. It's the philosophical decision that of when in that scientific process they become a baby or not. That is, it's so the science is settled. There's a 9-month process. All babies grow like this. The heart grows here. The lungs grow here. The brain grows here. They start feeling pain, I think at 16 weeks, something like this. I don't know all the details. But so the science is clear. The question is, when do you inject yourself into the equation and say, it's a baby, it's not a baby, here's the line, now it's a baby, and it's bad. I think what Bill Maher is saying, we all fuck the rhetoric, fuck the philosophies. We all agree it's killing something. Bill Maher was just willing to go one step further and say, you know what? I don't care.
It's okay.
It's okay. And so I actually appreciate his candor because saying the silent part out loud tells me very much about who he is and where his values are.
Yes.
Absolutely. So I loved his candor, actually. I was like, bro, gotcha. Now I know where you sit. Perfect.
Because Bill Maher has been one of these guys in the news and within the content cycle recently of, hey, he's like this huge leftist that's kind of coming center, and he had that famous line, I'm not the one that moved, everyone else moved,
yep.
And that put me in the center. And people were like, oh, maybe Bill Maher's coming around. No, this guy's a fucking Satanist.
No.
This guy's evil. And of course, he has no children. Of course, he has no wife. Of course, he's living that lifestyle.
Yep.
And I can't take anything he says seriously anymore.
Just like you can't take anything Kathy Griffin says. Like, not only is she, you know who she is, right?
I mean, the redhead?
Yeah, she's the trainee. She's Anderson Cooper's brother. You didn't know this? All right, let's go.
Wait, I thought Anderson Cooper was a Rothschild.
Anderson Cooper had an older brother who was gay and died. But yet, Kathy Griffin came out right after his older brother died, and she looks like a spitting image of Anderson Cooper's older brother.
Can someone please fact check this for us?
Bro.
Fact check.
It's just like Macron. Macron's wife is a man, and we have 30 years of no history. Suddenly, his wife shows up on the spot, right? And same with Anderson Cooper. Anderson Cooper, check it out, Will. He had a brother. His brother's gone now. And then suddenly, Kathy just showed up, and she has all the physical hallmarks of his late brother. So I think it's just part of the machine.
Wait, is she a Rothschild too then?
Probably.
Wait, I thought he was.
Probably.
If he isn't.
No, he's a Vanderbilt.
Oh, he's a Vanderbilt.
He's a Vanderbilt.
So she's a Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Or he's a Vanderbilt.
He's a Vanderbilt.
They're both he's.
Yeah. That's why that's why Kathy Griffin.
Dude, this shit's so confusing.
She will never have kids and never marry.
I thought it was he.
He will never have kids and never marry because he's actually a dude, but he's playing. Like, have you ever seen pictures of Kathy Griffin when she does selfies? She looks like a dude. She looks horrible. She looks like all the plastic surgery and all that's fallen apart. It's like Michael Jackson back in the day, right? When he lost his nose. I'm going down the rabbit hole, guys, but I'm not lying. It's true. It's almost like Diddy.
It's
almost like Tupac.
I'm kind of curious to look it up, but not really that curious. I'm like torn.
Well, if The Simpsons had an episode.
I'll just take your word for it.
If The Simpsons had an episode about it. All right. For those of you guys who can see the scene, this is from Reddit. OMG. This keeps getting more deeper, stranger, and bizarre. Kathy Griffin is Anderson Cooper's older brother that had a sex change. So Joan Rivers isn't crazy after all, folks.
R.I.P.
Michelle Obama is really a tranny, and so is Kathy Griffin. Yep, see? So if you look at older pictures of Anderson Cooper and his older brother who had, quote-unquote, committed suicide, fascinating. Fascinating that what came out right after he had suicide, Kathy Griffin suddenly showed up on the spot.
It's on Reddit. It must be true.
How bizarre. Dun, 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 dun. How bizarre. I bet that guy's gay too.
Who?
The guy who sang How Bizarre.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know that song?
I know the song. I don't know who sang it. I don't know who sang the song.
It's probably Tupac.
So can we also talk about the fact that President Trump is in New York this week?
Oh.
For a criminal trial.
Yes, that's right.
And this is for a crime he allegedly committed 8 years ago. Why is no one asking an obvious question?
What's the crime again?
I don't even know. Does anyone even care what the crime is?
No, they just make shit up, bro.
But it's a crime committed 8 years ago. Why did they wait this long to go after him? They could have done this last year. They could have done this 2 years ago. They could have done this 3 years ago. But the judge is saying that because of this criminal trial, that he has to be in court every single day for it, meaning he can't campaign.
Yeah, of course. That's part of the
which
game.
Which is crazy. Mm. And no one's like, hey, wait a second. Why didn't you go after him like 3 years ago for this? 4 years ago after this? 6 years ago? 5 years ago? Why wait until campaign season to all of a sudden like, hey, it's a criminal trial. Hush money.
Exactly.
Blah, 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 blah.
Like, exactly.
Like, no one even cares about the actual trial.
We're coming up on election. We're in election season, brother. It's time to get out the guns. It's time to get out the constraints. It's time to get out the blockers, the walls. They cannot let this man, Donald J. Trump, they cannot let him continue to land grab. He's land grabbing, man.
And he is taking, he's making the most of the opportunity.
Bro, he's
and he's in Harlem.
Yeah.
And people are showing up in droves.
They love him.
Of support for him.
They love him. Remember, he helped the brother back in the day. With all those texts.
I can't believe how much love and support he's getting in New York. It's crazy.
Apparently, the news isn't always true.
Because we were told that New York hates him. Apparently, it's like four blocks in New York that hates him.
Yeah.
And the rest of it apparently loves him because people are showing up like huge crowds.
Absolutely.
To see him at the bodega.
Every time Trump lands everywhere, he has crowds. I mean, you and Will were willing to sit out on the tarmac for 3 hours in Atlanta, Hartsfield, Jackson Airport.
Just to get a glimpse.
Just to get a glimpse of the man.
It's crazy.
Touch his robe. Be healed.
No robe touching. Secret Service like, no, you can't touch the robe.
Touch the, you gotta touch the robe, man. Gotta get healed. That's it, man. Gotta touch the majesty of the Trump, bro.
This trial is going to go on for the next 6-8 weeks.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's going to be the headline after headline after headline.
Just a distraction.
Just a distraction. Mm. From what?
They don't want him land grabbing. Dude, he's winning. He's winning. Everywhere he goes, people are showing up in droves. I mean, Biden shows up randomly to places and nobody wants to shake his hand.
Nobody cares.
Nobody gives two fucks. Like, we've seen videos. Of course, CNN and MSNBC and CBS, they won't show it, but we've seen clips where he shows up to these places and people are like, yep, getting back to eating my food. It's like, bro, nobody cares about you.
I would care.
Would you?
Yeah.
Because, but you do it for the photo op and the video op, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you do it for the opportunity to say, to ask him a question and have him.
Well, that's how crazy this is, right? Is that he is currently the sitting president of the United States of America.
And nobody gives two fucks.
Even, it doesn't matter who the president is. When the president walks in, people should be like, holy shit, the president's here.
Yeah.
And everyone should stand up and everyone be like, oh my gosh, the president's here.
Yeah.
I want to go take a picture. I want to go see him. I want to go say hi. I want to shake his hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how many times in life do you have an opportunity to meet the sitting president of the United States?
Yeah.
And he walks in and nobody cares? He's that unpopular?
It's crazy. How many million votes?
81 million
votes, guys. 81 million votes.
Nobody cares when he walks in. How is that a thing? He's literally the sitting president, considered the most powerful man in the world.
He goes to the beach.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares? If Donald Trump went to the beach, there would be circles and centripetal circles and outer ring circles trying to see him.
He had to say centripetal circles.
You can't even say it. There are concentric circles.
Who's Googling it right now?
Concentric circles, guys. There are circles among circles among circles. Like, Donald Trump would be accosted. People would be wanting to see him. But you see Biden at the beach, which I think he's been at the beach like 112 days out of his presidency so far. Like, nobody gives a shit. It's crazy that we live in this world, Matt.
Like, for the amount of time he spends on a beach, he's not very tan.
You know what? I just thought of an idea.
Like to sell his sunscreen?
No. You could be the guy.
Because I'm burnt as fuck from 2 days at the beach.
Are you? Really?
Yeah, I'm like, my back is itching and everything.
Damn, bro.
I wish I had some Biden sunblock.
It's all the rubber that he has to wear, all the rubber mask and stuff, you know, because it's not Biden. So here's
the fake Biden.
Here's what I think. There should be a guy. Maybe not you, but somebody else. There has to be a guy who follows him around. You know what great content you could get if you're that guy who's always finding out where Biden is and you're that guy that's always like, hey, Biden, I have another question for you. And having Biden look at you and be like, I don't know, man. That one time my son Bo died in a car accident. No, he died in Iraq. Oh, but don't matter. He died anyway. And then, like, you could get the best clips. Can you imagine that being the Biden interview guy, the Biden chaser?
You'd probably get shut down so fast.
Yeah, but dude, you would get such alternative conservative view loving. You would get so much loving. Mm. Just like Sean Rich.
I've never been around Biden. I wonder how.
I'm telling you, like, he seems...
How can I get around
he
Biden?
He seems like he's accessible. He could go into restaurants and nobody jumps up and says hi. You could be the guy who jumps up and says, hey, Biden, I love you, bro.
I really want to go to a Biden rally.
I think you should.
I would love to go.
Actually, I would actually go with you.
I just don't know how to find one. I tried to go to the one he did with the presidents, with Clinton and Obama, or the fundraiser, but the tickets were like $2,500 or $5,000.
That's how they do it in the Democratic Party. You got to pay to play.
But where can I find one? Like, I want to be one of the 10 people in the six circles.
The six concentric circles.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. What Biden does with the mainstream media is he tells only the media where he's going to be, just like he tells the media where the fake shooting is going to be, so CNN can be there before the shooting happens.
I need to reach out to some liberal media.
Exactly. You need to befriend.
That will let me know.
Yes. You need to befriend some blue-haired sheepdogs. They have to be trans, because that's the only way that you're going to get any legit, you know, FaceTime.
I could wear a wig.
Yeah. And you, yeah.
They'll let me in.
Exactly. And you have to wear leathers.
Nice.
Yep. You have to do all
topless.
That stuff. Topless, probably. Yeah, we can get you some fake nipple rings because that's what they do.
Nice, fake nipple rings.
You can say, "Hey, remember that? Remember you could start your question with, remember that one time we were in the Senate and I was,
and then, yeah,
they'll be like, oh yeah, Matt, we like you a lot. Right? You could do something like that, and then you could be the guy who interviews Biden.
Mm.
And dude, I think that would be a hoot. If you could find a way to go to his rallies, I will go with you just so I can get a picture with Biden.
Well,
You know how epic it would be for you to have a picture with Biden?
Do you know how...
That would be awesome.
The most difficult part about this entire premise is that he doesn't have public events. He would have to have a public event to sneak in or get into or even try to get into one.
Yeah, because he only works with the mainstream media. So you have to befriend the mainstream media so they can let you in.
And it's going to be the one day I go, it's going to be like, no questions, and he's going to go in. I'm like, oh, I flew halfway across country for this shit.
But then you can pick up your big boy pants and be like, now is the time.
Ooh,
that's where you jump over the barrier.
I wonder if Simon Atiba would know.
Right, you jump over the barrier, and you go and you bear hug him, just like the black lady did in Chick-fil-A to Trump.
I think we're going to go to Washington one day.
Right?
That's what it is. We need to go to Washington one day.
I'm getting energized here.
We just need to go to DC and we need to start sneaking into some events.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll find out some more information.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Oh, yeah. We should.
I mean, imagine the. Can you imagine asking him a question? He leans in and he whispers in your ear about, like, hey, you know, don't say anything, but I'm just going to rub your back here right now. I'd like you to touch my legs, you know? And you get that on video, man. Bro, you'd be a fucking superstar. I want this to happen so bad, Matt.
What would be more fun? Hanging out with Joe Biden or hanging out with Kamala Harris?
Seriously, if you had to choose. I realize this is like the best entertainment of all time.
Yeah, if you had to choose, maybe leave a comment. If you had to choose, you have to choose one. You can either spend the afternoon with Joe Biden or you can spend the afternoon with Kamala Harris. Which one would you rather do?
I don't even have to think.
Mm.
Kamala.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because you can
ask. You might get laid? take that.
No, because you could ask her any question and her answer would be the most nonsensical thing humanly possible. It would be awesome. You could get her to probably rattle on for like 5 hours about nothing. You'd say, hey, you know, what do you think about the border crisis? And she'd say, well, these buses have USBs in them. And, you know, when we went to space, we didn't come.
Do not come.
Just like, dude, so what would your answer be? Kamala or old Joe? What would you choose?
I think I'd have to say Joe because he's a sitting president.
Fair enough.
Right? I think for that alone, it would be Joe. However, I think hanging out with Kamala would be more fun.
Dude, you could get her to say some of the
Because you can get
shit.
Her into these circular arguments where she's arguing by herself.
Yeah.
And she's like a cat chasing, like a dog chasing his tail just in circles over 100%. And over and over and over again.
She would say, we are now past the times that have come and the times that will come yet to be and the future that hasn't come but will soon come and is now in the present. Is what she'll say to you. Like, dude, I'm like good.
That was really good, right? I almost understood you.
Kamala, you and me, we besties. You didn't know this, Kamala, but you and I are cut from a similar piece of cloth.
Final note, I think what we're going to do for the... I'm thinking about a new format.
Oh.
For interviews.
Ooh.
I think for the interviews from now on, what we're going to do is we're going to do the interviews and we're going to play them. And after the interviews, we're going to go straight from doing the premiere on Rumble as the interview and then cut right into a live stream afterwards.
Like a Q&A?
Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
I like that.
Because even if we do the interview on maybe a Wednesday, but the episode doesn't get released till a Friday, we can tell the interviewee, wherever they are, hey, why don't you come in? We can do it remote and we can do a live Q&A.
A watch party.
A watch party. So we can watch the full interview. And then we can do an interview. We can do the Q&A with the watchers afterwards.
Yeah. And
I think that'd be fun.
And the guests too, because then they can answer questions that weren't part of the interview.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that'd be interesting. I think that's something that I want to try to start rolling in.
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
That's really good promo type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like that.
We're always working on new things. Excited for what we have in the future. I think the future is bright. We have... It's going to be a wild year, for sure.
Man, all I can think about is taking that.
Tupac is gay. Thank you, everyone. Have a good week.
No!
See you next time.
No!